The UN Story. In this series of programs, United Nations Radio brings you the authentic transcribed account of the work of the UN, a report of achievement in many fields, the UN Story. Today's story is about two kinds of magic.
Once upon a time, 1,200 years ago, in the days of the king called Charlemagne, there lived in the east of the world another and as mighty a king, and his name was Harun al-Rashid. Now this that we tell you of is a story of two kinds of magic. One is like this radio, which reaches into the air and plucks the voice from the thousand currents in the clouds and brings into your room this story. The other is that which can also make the genie grow and conjures up a castle where there was none before, as is told in the Thousand Nights and a Night, which you in the West call the Arabian Nights. Of these two magics is our story made. And yet it is a true story, which I tell you as it happened. 1,200 years ago, Charlemagne received a teacher at his court, and his name was Alcuin of York.
How went the school today, Alcuin?
Well, Majesty, the scholars are quick to their learning.
I would have them so. And can they all read their letters now?
Yes, Majesty, though they read but slowly yet.
It is a great power to read and write. Someday I would have it that there be many throughout my realm who have this power.
Yet we teach but few here at court.
There will be other schools. I will make them.
But the teachers? Where will the teachers come from?
From those you teach here. They will teach others, and the others will teach still others. A chain of learning. Forged so strong it can never break again.
This is a great dream, Majesty.
Dream? It is not a dream. It is my will. It will be so.
And yet there is so little to teach. Reading and writing, a little ciphering, the Latin speech.
What more is there?
I know not. And yet...
If there is more, let me but know where it is to be found, and I will seek it out.
They tell of a far land to the east where the knowledge of the ancients still is kept and studied in the schools.
What land is that in the east? I know of an emperor in the east, in a land called Baghdad. My tongue trips on the name, Baghdad. We have exchanged presents as one emperor to another, such presents as I have never seen. But the knowledge of the ancients, of this I have never heard.
Yet, my lord, I think it be true.
And indeed it was so, as Alcuin had said. For in the east, beside the great river Tigris, there lay a great city. And in the city, 800,000 people, almost as many as Rome in the days of her ancient glory. And the houses were of marble and tile, of great beauty and wonder to all the world. And in the city were libraries and mosques and schools, such as the West would not know for hundreds of years to come. And the ruler of that land was the Caliph of Baghdad, Harun al-Rashid.
How went the schools today, teacher?
Well, Caliph, there came today two Syrians to bring new and curious things to teach us, of which we had not heard before.
It is good that we have new things to learn and to teach. We must ever seek out learning, wherever it may be.
Our fame has become so great that learning seeks us out. Scholars are here from many parts of the world, from Syria and Byzantium, from beyond the Indus, and from many other parts. We need not seek it out. It comes to seek us.
And what of the two Syrians who came today?
They have with them a curious book of ancient Greek learning, it would seem. It tells the forms of things and the measuring of them, of circles and triangles and other shapes, and how they may be calculated, and the laws concerning them. It is called a geometry.
Curious, curious. I would see this book.
It is in the Greek language, Caliph, and in a writing hard to read.
Then it must be translated.
As you say, Caliph.
It must be translated so that all who come to study at my school will learn. For all kinds of learning must be open to those who come to Baghdad to find it.
It will be done. There are those who study it already and write down the words in our own language.
That is good. That is as I would have it. We must make ourselves so great in learning that all the world will look to Baghdad in wonder.
And it was so. And from the great schools of Baghdad in the time of the Abbasid caliphs came many great things for all men. Algebra and medicine, trigonometry, physics, biology, surgery. If you would know these things, you must go to Baghdad to learn. And a great university grew in Baghdad and beside it another, so that the two great sister schools were a wonder and a delight to all. And it was thus until the year 1258. Out of the farther east in the plains of the Gobi Desert had come the Mongols. And in this year of which I tell, Hulako, son of Genghis Khan, brother of Kublai Khan, stood with an army before the walls of Baghdad. And Hulako sat in his tent and planned the final battle.
The eastern walls. We will attack here in the east. They are the weakest point. You hear me, Baishu?
I hear, Lord. It will be defended strongly.
With what? One army has already been wiped out beyond the city.
There are still many thousands left to fight.
We have more thousands. Baghdad cannot withstand us. We will attack the eastern wall and we will win. Do you doubt it?
I do not doubt. And when we have broken through the wall and taken the city...
Then we will sack it. We will burn its buildings and scatter its people.
Sack Baghdad? But the schools, the hospitals...
There are other schools... Other books, other doctors. But there is only one Baghdad. And if it falls, then will the world know of our power and our strength and learn to fear us.
And Baghdad fell, as Hulako foretold. Many thousands died in that fight, and the power and the wonder of Baghdad was gone. And where once were the beautiful palaces of marble and tile, the mosaics and arabesques, the schools, the libraries and public buildings, there stood for 600 years a small town in a province of the empire. And of the great Baghdad of other times, only the name remained. And it was so until modern times. Times that men still alive remember and speak of out of their own knowledge who were there to see it, of how between the two wars, which people call world wars, they became a nation again, and it was called Iraq, and schools were built again for the children of the people. But a university, such a university as stood in Baghdad 1,200 years ago, that was still a dream. Until 3 years ago.
I welcome you to our country, Dr. Muller, and to this university, which you will help us to build.
An honor and a pleasure, Dr. Turi, and a great challenge.
Yes, to build a university from virtually nothing, that is a daring, almost a frightening project. Frankly, when my government came to me and told me I was to be dean, I didn't know where to start.
I can well believe it.
But we had to start, and we did. Slowly, of course. One must move slowly at first.
It's the only way. If the foundation isn't there and built well, nothing can come from it.
It's an exciting thing, Dr. Muller, to watch something grow like this that you helped to start. Oh, but so slow. And that's why we've turned to you, to UNESCO. We're ready to move faster now, and we want you to help us.
We'll give you every help we can, Dr. Turi. That's why we're here. And I assure you, we find it as exciting as you do.
Our university must become a research center, a scientific capital. You see this map here?
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
It's a copy of a map in the office of the Minister of Education. These are the scientific buildings we plan to establish. Mm-hmm. This mark here...
Yeah.
Is a hospital. Mm-hmm. This one an engineering school.
Mm-hmm.
Here a medical school.
It is an ambitious plan, Dr. Turi, and UNESCO is, of course, happy to provide people like Dr. Bruins and Dr. Baez and myself to help and advise you.
And to teach.
And to teach.
You are right, Dr. Muller. It is an ambitious plan, but we will make it come alive. In this land, Hammurabi made the first code of law that we know of. And in this very city of Baghdad was the greatest seat of learning of the Middle Ages. With such a history, how could we be satisfied with anything but the best?
You are right, of course.
There are doctors in this land today, scientists. But they have studied abroad. The diplomas on their walls are in English or French or German or in Latin. Why should they not be in Arabic, the language of the land in which they were born? This is what we must do, you and I and your colleagues in UNESCO.
It will take a great deal of work.
That is true.
I look forward to it. More than that, it will take a great deal of money.
That my government has promised to provide. And we will do it. UNESCO provides the technicians, we provide the equipment.
Dr. Dury, we will do everything we can do to build a great university.
I know we can work together, Dr. Muller. With UNESCO's help, a dream will come true.
And little by little, it began to grow, the mighty dream. And the marks on the map became buildings, and the plans of the architects became laboratories. The dream was becoming a reality, and the students came to learn new things, the strange and magical things that modern science teaches, to make light from a piece of wire and a bit of glass, to find the sickness which you cannot see. And where once there was nothing, the nation of Iraq and the people of UNESCO together had built in 3 short years a living thing.
Dr. Dury, do you remember the first day I came to your office almost 3 years ago now?
I remember it very well. I think you looked a little frightened.
I was frightened. I remember thinking as you told me your plans, can we do this? It's a tremendous plan. It will need every ounce of energy and knowledge that we have. And it did, you know.
Yes, these have been years of hard work.
That first year I had 10 students. This year I have 30 who will graduate as finished chemists. But that's only part of it. When I think of how those students began without the remotest knowledge of their subjects, not the slightest acquaintance with the most elementary experiment, that's a kind of miracle in itself.
And some of those students will help to teach other students in the future.
That is the most important thing we have done and will do, I think. Eventually, this university will be completely self-supporting. You won't need us. You'll have teachers trained in your own university who can go on and teach others.
I'm confident in the future.
It's curious, you know. I'm a chemist, and well, the so-called miracles of modern chemistry are things I have learned to take for granted. They are the normal things of the world for me. What we have done is a kind of chemical magic. We have created something new that hadn't existed before, created it, made something where there was nothing before. Like the ancient magicians, like the genie out of the Arabian Nights. And it will endure, this magic. It must endure.
It will, Dr. Muller. Rest assured, it will.
And so it came to pass that the mighty school that was Baghdad in the days of the caliphs is born again in our own day on the banks of the river Tigris, in the land called Iraq.
The UN story you have just heard is an example of the work of the UN and its specialized agencies, which goes on day after day in many countries all over the world. Today's story was from the files of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization.